أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نويت الأربعين، نويت الاعتكاف، نويت الخلوة، نويت العزلة، نويت الرياضة، نويت السلوك لله تعالى العظيم في هذا المسجد. إن شاء الله in this session we try to move on from level 7 to 8 and to end by 9. And I would like to say that all these levels that we have described, that they are not only like, as we said, is a ladder of 9 steps. So we finish one, we enter the second, we finish the second, we enter the third. All of these different disciplines, they merge with each other, they interact with each other. It's not necessary that we have to have one and then go to the second, because we said in the sixth level is to have complete ablution, wudu. It doesn't mean that you cannot have, you must not have that in the first level. So it's all are interacting with each other. So means that when we are, as soon as we decide to give the to take the initiation from the Sheikh, which we said the first level, all these levels has to interact with each other, because we must be preparing ourselves that to know about it. And the association of the Sheikh, the company of the Sheikh, the sitting with the Sheikh will tells you and describe to you these different levels through his speeches, so you can understand them and you can detect them. And then when you take the initiation, means all of them, they have to be your priority in front of you. Murshid, as we said, as you are interacting with these different levels, he will guide you. Through his guidance, you will be able to take away veils from in front of you and becoming seeing better with his light, with the light that Prophet ﷺ opened to you, with the light that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened to you. In that seven level, we said that wudu is a necessity in the sixth level. And in the seventh level, you have to search for halal and haram. For you, halal and haram now coming in a higher level, not only halal and haram in the lower levels that we see that it is, that's what Allah prohibited, we have to stop, of course, and what Prophet and what Allah has showed of obligation, we have to do. But in that level, on top of that, we have to make sure that we must touch nothing that has been offered to us without that person has wudu also. As in Islam, in the Sharia, that a Muslim woman cannot show her hair, cannot show her hair, not Muslim woman in general cannot show her hair to any man. Anyone pulling or taking the scarf of the woman from their head is instrument of shaitan. Islam does not allow that. So as woman cannot show her hair in general to men, also Muslim woman Islamically in the Sharia cannot show her hair to a woman that doesn't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that she is a idol worshipper or an atheist or a Zoroastrian worshipper of fire. A Muslim woman is not allowed, it's haram that she shows her hair or any part of her body to that kind of people. Not mushrik. You said mushrik? Christian are mushrik. You can show to Christian. Ahlul Kitab, no problem. Those who believe in Allah, it's okay. Those who worship is not mushrik. Those who worship idols, idol worshippers are not mushrik, are out of shirk. worse than mushrik. Many people nowadays, they bring Hindus or Buddhists or Zoroastrian. We are speaking Sharia now. We are not speaking what we have to do or someone has to do. We are speaking Islamically. So we have to present what Islam shows to us. So any woman that thinks that she is bringing to her house someone to help her and she can take her scarf on, if that lady is doesn't believe in Allah and she is idol worshipper or Zoroastrian fire worshipper or atheist, that is considered in front of her also like a foreign man. It's haram to take her cover off. Now many people they left that that Sharia order. It doesn't make you kafir, but it's a sin. You make istighfar, Allah forgive. So we come back to the, we explain a little bit about the Sharia on that issue. We come back to the tariqah, the discipline of tariqah. On the level 7 of the tariqah, you have to see who is cooking your food. You have to see who is ironing your clothes. You have to see who is presenting you something. Is that person on wudu or not? That is supposing that he is a Muslim. If he is not a Muslim, it's worse. When Sayyidina Shah al-Naqshband used to do the Khatm al-Khajakan, the zikr, he ordered his murid to take shower. He has in the Zawiya a place that they can take shower, and they put very white, clean clothes that only some helper, men or women, their specialty is that they clean this cloth, they iron them, they are very white clothes, and these men or women who are doing that, they have to be in complete shower, in complete ablution, and when they are doing, they are making istighfar. And when they are cleaning these clothes, this murid go and wear these clothes immediately from one room to another room to sit in zikrullah, in order that bad reflection will not be reflected from outside into the association of zikr. That in order not any reflection, bad reflection or negative reflection, because all of us we reflect energy, bad energy, and it affects the others. It's bad pollution. They say about nature that the factories make pollution in the nature. Also, human beings make pollution to each other. And that's why for zikr, for khatam, for food, for anything that you take, must be in perfect wudu from both sides. From the one that who is doing that action, in the level 6, he has to have complete wudu 24 hours. And from the one who is offering that, on the 7th level, he has to have also wudu. So it is reciprocal. Both sides, they have to have complete ablution, complete wudu, complete istighfar, in order that we'll have a clean association, a clean meeting where rawhaniya at that time, all awliya, their spirituality comes to that meeting. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent his vision to that meeting when everything is clean from both sides. That level, that that level, in that level, if you keep that discipline, reciprocal discipline, from the one who is performing the ibadah, means from you, and from the one offering you to help you in your ibadah by giving food, by giving clothes, by giving, so it's both sides. Although the other side is doing ibadah also, so from that both sides you enter the level 8, which da'iratul arwah, the circle of spirits. Da'iratul arwah, circle of spirits. Diwanul awliya or diwanul awliya is the circle of awliya Allah, that they come through their spirits, and those who are at in that association, they can feel their presence. That's why sometimes If a murid is doing his zikr or seclusion or in a such meeting, he come at the end of the meeting, he say, Sheikh, can I ask you a question? And Maulana say, yes. And he said, I was smelling nice man. As if something passed through me, I smelled nice smell. The other one say, Sheikh, I felt that there is someone was holding my hand. The other one say, oh Sheikh, I felt someone like whispered in my ear, some praising, some tasbih. The other one say, I heard this. And this is true. This is da'iratul arwah. This is the circle of awliyaullah. In that circle, angels appear. Angels come. And that is the hadith of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That ما جلس قوم يذكرون الله إلا حفتهم الملائكة وغشيتهم الرحمة وذكرهم الله في من عنده. As a group of people sit together in circle, in association, they remember their Lord, remembering their Lord, angels will come on them, encompass them, and Allah's mercy comes on them, and Allah mentioned them in His presence, in the presence better than their presence. So all this become something that you can experience in that level, eighth level. So in that eighth level, everyone must be in a complete obedience to the Sunnah of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He has to follow them and he has to perform them, or else he will not enter that level. He might interact with it. Sometime he might get something, smells little here, little there, but it doesn't open completely until he is really fully deep following the Sunnah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Shaykh never ask his murid to do something if the murid is yet not been taking initiation and entering in tariqah. And if he enter, the Shaykh will ask him something to help the other, give this or give that or do this or do that. And if murid will act on it. But on the level 8, the Shaykh in the other levels from 7 to 1, if the murid didn't act on it, it means tarkul adab, disrespect. But it doesn't throw him back from step 1. But in level 8, when the murid begin to know these realities and begin to smell these smells and hear these voices and interact with the awliya, if the Shaykh ordered him to do something and he would not do it, he will not go back to first level, but he will be thrown out of Naqshbandi tariqat, and he might be thrown out in all his life. He will never see the Shaykh. He might go crazy, act crazy, foolishly outside. One time, one murid was trying hard. He reached that level 8. And there he was able to see. He saw the name of his Shaykh written on Lawh al-Mahfuz that he is going to hell, fire. Allah is sending that Shaykh to hell. He went back to himself. He said, what I am seeing? Is this true? My Shaykh is to hell, to fire? Is my Shaykh doing something behind our back? We don't know. We are better than him now. We can see because I am progressing. Might be my Shaykh is not progressing, only teaching, speaking like Alim al-Huruf only, but he is not progressing. He is nothing. I become better. So that came to his heart, that sickness. So he loves his Shaykh. So what he did, like Sonarto, what he did, he went back to home. He went into sajda, Ya Rabbi, forgive my Shaykh. Ya Rabbi, take my Shaykh from hellfire. Put him in paradise. Ya Rabbi, take my Shaykh from hellfire. Put him in paradise. All the time in his sajda, he's asking for 40 days After 40 days, he looked on the preserved tablet. He saw his sheikh changed his name from Hellfire to Paradise. He was so happy. As soon as he entered to the association of the sheikh was sitting in the middle, and he saw coming, he was happy to come to tell his sheikh that, Alhamdulillah, my sheikh, I changed you from Hellfire, I put you in Paradise. Before he say anything, the sheikh took his miswak and break it. And he said, I'm breaking you into half like this miswak I'm breaking. Go out from my presence. Turn me back to Hellfire. I didn't ask you to ask Allah to put me in Paradise. Bring me back to Hellfire. Before you bring me back there, make dua to Allah until he take my name back to Hellfire, then you can come to my presence. Kick him out. Murid was afraid from the sheikh. He thought that he is better than the sheikh. He changed him from Hellfire to Paradise. So he went by making sajda, and crying until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after 40 days, he looked at the preserved tablet, he saw his sheikh back from Paradise, Allah changed to Hellfire. He was very happy. He's coming running to the sheikh to tell him, Ya Sheikh Umar, Alhamdulillah, I'm very happy you are in Hellfire now. And the sheikh said, as soon as he came, he said, Ya Waladi, 25 years I saw my name that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put me in Hellfire. Saw my name on the preserved tablet. But my ibadah, I'm not doing ibadah to avoid going to Hellfire. I'm doing ibadah because it's my obligation. I am abid. I'm not creator. I am Abdullah. I am Allah's servant. My job is ibadah. He puts me in Hellfire. He puts me in Paradise. This is up to him. We have no will. His will is what's going to happen. We do what we have to do. So in that level 8, whatever the sheikh asks you, you don't do anything from yourself. What the sheikh asks you, you do. Always your concentration is what kind of order is coming from the sheikh. Because it is the level of, as we said, Da'iratul Arwah is the circle of spirits or circle of Awliyaullah. In that circle, everything goes through inspirations, nothing physically. Everything will be done through hearts, from hearts to hearts, from heart to heart. Is nothing, anything physically. So whatever orders come, it's coming from a real source. There is a real source. So there, you have to listen and obey. Listen and obey. How Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was receiving revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Jibreel, he was listening and obeying. So what Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to Sahaba, they listen and they obey the Prophet. Sahaba gave awliya. Awliya listen and obey. Awliya, they give their murid. They listen and obey. They listen and obey. So it is a level of awliyaullah where you have to listen and obey. There is the level where there is no question mark. There is no, in Arabic, lima la. Why not? You cannot ask why is not like that, or why we have to do it like that, or why this is better than that. It's not up to you. It's up to the orders that comes from above the sheikh, and the sheikh comes his order from above him, and from above him, and from above him, grand sheikh to grand sheikh, grand sheikh to grand sheikh, to sahaba to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That level is always sam'an wa ta'ah. Sam'an wa ta'ah. That level is I am listening and obeying, nothing else. If the sheikh said to you, take this, put it here, don't say no, you take it, for example, move it from here to here. That's your job. You cannot disobey. Disobey, they throw you out. They said to you go, you cannot come. In that level, you have to be very careful from illness. Illness quickly comes, sicknesses. Like you think yourself, when you are healing, as you are becoming a big sheikh. There was a wali in Egypt recently. His name Sheikh Muhammad Amin al-Baghdadi, Naqshbandi. Most of ulama at that time, this is 78 years ago. Most of the ulama at that time in Egypt, Syria, Middle East, Lebanon, Jordan, they go to Egypt study and take bay'ah from him. And the Sheikh give them, some of them give them permission to conduct zikr and bring people together. And all these shuyukh are scholars, ulama. He doesn't accept murids that normal people. His murids must be at least alim 13 years of ilm. If he didn't finish ilm al-zahir, he will never give him bay'ah. One of these shuyukh, he gave him permission to conduct zikr. So he went back to his country doing zikr and promoting Naqshbandi tariqat and teaching people. More people, many followers coming. So they begin to say, MashaAllah, our Sheikh is strong, our Sheikh is big, our Sheikh is connected, our Sheikh is Khalifa. Not Sheikh Muhammad Amin, but that one who is representing the Sheikh. Sheikh Abdul Rahman Al-Ajuz, his name was. So people begin to mention his name, and he was beginning to put his name with the Sheikh's name. So when he was beginning to his name be mentioned beside the name of the Sheikh, and when they read Fatiha, they read for him. When they make tawassul, they make tawassul. So they begin to mention more and more the name. That Sheikh become happy of himself. He forgot that the attraction of his Sheikh that was making him a Sheikh, or he is a garbage. If the Sheikh wants to take that power out. So the Rabita, he began to say to Murid, you don't know the Sheikh, never mind, make Rabita with me. As soon as he began to think like that, and they make Rabita to him, and make Fatiha for him, and make everything to him, coming to him, he didn't begin to tell them about the Grand Sheikh. So the Sheikh sent it to his heart, information, he felt that he needs to come and visit the Sheikh. So he went to Egypt to visit the Sheikh. So he came, visited the Sheikh. He didn't say anything that they are making Rabita for me, that they are putting my name with your name, they are reciting Fatiha for me. He kept quietly. Before he left, he came to the Sheikh, kissed his hand and said, I'm going. He said, go. I'm changing your position now. He thought that he's changing his position, he's giving him higher love. He went back to Lebanon. As soon as he landed from the boat, came down, immediately he began to take his clothes out and he came crazy. For 15 years he was crazy, not knowing to say one word of his alim, zahiri or ma'nawi, finish. He took everything from his heart. So all these ulama went to, in these 15 years, going to Sheikh Muhammad Amin saying, please give him what you took back, make him back, not foolish, make dua for him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring him back. He said, no way. When someone enter in that level, he cannot make mistake. No mistake acceptable there. So at the end, because the murid, because all ulama, they were insisting, ya Sayyidi, please. He said, okay, I'm making dua for him. So he make his dua. As soon as he finished the dua saying Ameen and they read Fatiha, Sheikh Ajuz died in Lebanon. That in level 8, when someone put his feet there, no mistakes. Now if you make a mistake, not intentionally, it's okay. Yani if you made it by wrong judgment, it's okay. It's excusable. But if you did it and you know that it is wrong, then no excuse. In that level, there is 500, if you go deep inside Sharia, Awliyaullah or ulama of tasawwuf are able to extract 500 obligations that Prophet ﷺ made it clear for Sahaba and for the Ummah. What we call it, 500 min al-ma'murat. It's things that has been ordered for us to do. Five only are obligated on every Muslim, which we know them, Shahada, Salah, Zakah, Hajj. The rest are obligated, but if you leave them, you are not in a sin. But it's more preferable to do that. In that level 8, you have to do them all. You cannot leave one of them. So you cannot leave them, you have to fulfill them, you have to do them. But if you missed 1, 2, 5, 10, it's okay, it's not obligated. And this comes only through inspirations that you will understand them. Al-manhiyat, forbiddens, is very difficult. There are 800 forbiddens, you have to leave them. And in Awliyaullah's eyes, if you leave one forbidden, Allah reward you if you leave one forbidden for His sake, as if you have made 500 obligations of these obligations that other than the five, because you left one forbidden for Allah's sake. And we will continue inshallah next time, bi hurmatil Fatiha.